Good morning, Steve Dale right here on WGN, talking pets and talking about keeping your dog safe as the weather gets warmer and warmer and warmer and warmer. She's a hero in my book for what she did. You are! For what she did in New York State, where Assemblyperson Linda Rosenthal in New York said, you know what? Enough is enough. We cannot declaw cats anymore. It is unethical. It's wrong to do. First state in the country. Now, about another topic, there are three states already. There's Maryland, California, and Maine who have said no dogs or cats in our state can be sold at pet stores. In New Jersey, they're lining up. They're ready to do it. In Minnesota, they're kind of ready to do it. In other states, they're ready to do it as well, only slowed up by the pandemic, which I understand. Now New York, the Senate in New York said quite overwhelmingly, no dogs or cats or rabbits can be sold at pet stores. It then goes to the Assembly in New York State. Assemblyperson Linda Rosenthal, you're back again.
Yes, I am, and good to be back.
And you're a supporter, of course, of this notion that none of these animals should be sold at pet stores. For those who don't know, why do you support it?
Okay, well, I'm actually the sponsor of the bill in the New York State Assembly, which would ban the sale of dogs, cats, and bunnies in pet stores. And the reason I'm against it is broadly, we need to make a dent in the puppy mill to pet store pipeline, which means that dogs and cats are bred in horrific conditions in puppy mills, is what we call them, because the animals are kept in cages. The mother is bred over and over and over again. There's lack of veterinary care. There's lack of food and water, a filthy environment. And because of the breeding practices, the puppies that are born are genetically compromised, and they are often very, very ill. They may not look it in the puppies in the store window, and what happens is people go in and they see this adorable little puppy and they spend thousands of dollars for it, but it's sick. And so they ultimately end up breaking the bank and their hearts because they have to pay for so much veterinary care, and the animal often can't survive.
You know,
it's a bad deal all around.
So Assemblyperson, in one of the arguments on the other side of this is, I don't know about New York, to be honest, but many states have what's called the lemon law. So
yes,
what they say is you can go back, and I think New York does, so you can go back to the store and say, okay, here's the puppy. I return the puppy. Give me my money back. Legally, you have to do that. Some of the stores don't do it anyway, but even if they do,
right?
What good does that do? Can you talk about that a little?
Exactly. That's hardly the answer because, you know, you've been enticed by the adorableness of the animal, and once you bring it home, you fall in love with it. It's part of your family. You can't return a person. You can't return an animal that you love. And that's beside the point. We want to stop this vicious cycle of stores getting animals that were bred in a cruel environment, animals that are sick, people spending thousands for a sick animal that they will have to pay for emotionally and monetarily. What is a better practice is having people get animals from shelters. And that's another part of the bill, is that in stores, for example, Petco does this, PetSmart does this.
Mm-hmm.
They sell everything an animal would need: food, litter, accessories, certain medications, treats, everything. And they leave space in the store for shelters to come in and display animals available for adoption.
Indeed,
and
they do.
Yeah.
What? One more quick question, and that would be, what about people that say, okay, this is just going to drive more people online? What do you say to that?
Well, I say that is not what has happened in other states that have banned sale of dogs and cats and bunnies in stores. People want to see the animal. For those who really, really, really need to buy a breed specifically, there are very reputable breeders, not ones that breed, you know, constantly and hundreds of animals. There are breeders that breed, let's say, poodles, where they have like a litter once a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Those can be reputable breeders.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You get your purebred.
Yep.
Not in a pet store where they often do not show where the animal comes from, whether it's healthy or not, or often it's fake information.
Yes.
There are people in on the deal, like, wink, wink, this animal's fine, came from an inspected place. You know, the whole thing is a misfortune for the animal and the person who actually ends up buying them for a lot of money when they can get a mixed breed, which is actually healthier in a lot of cases.
Well, I've got to end it there only because of time. I want you to be successful. We wish you all the success in the world, and I hope to be celebrating talking to you soon. Assemblyperson Linda Rosenthal from New York, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Adam Christman is the Chief Veterinary Officer of DVM360. And you know what? I hear every once in a while, not every once in a while, because we just went through this in Chicago from a local veterinary association and the state association that say, we're actually opposed to the idea of no dog, cats, or rabbits being sold at pet stores, and no responsible breeder ever sells to a pet store. So they're getting these animals greatly from puppy mills. And you know what? Across the country, veterinarians have become increasingly on the forefront of supporting these bans. And Dr. Christman, you did the same in New Jersey.
Yes. Yeah, there were two puppy stores that were located in Brick, New Jersey. And, I mean, you could walk from one to the other. And they were selling, and I worked in the practice, in the town, my vet hospital was in the town of where those puppy stores were. So we were seeing so many sick puppies and kittens that were coming through. And enough pet parents got annoyed with it. We decided to do something about it. And I'll never forget the day this happened where I was with the mayor, and he says, we got an ordinance to go into the puppy store, and he says, what do you do? And I said, we're going to shut this place down is what we're doing, because out of the 16 of the 24 dogs or puppies had pneumonia.
Ooh.
So we said, we're shutting down. It was a whole thing that got in the news and everything, but it started to create this momentum about banning the sale of puppies and kittens and rabbits in the state, because it's just like you said, it's most 99% of the time they're coming from puppy mills.
You know, and at one point in time, veterinarians as a profession felt a little differently about this. But now, I mean, you talk about what you did in New Jersey, and there are other examples all over the country of veterinarians who have said, you know what? I am tired of treating like these dogs for pneumonia or behavior problems, which are more often seen in these pet store dogs.
Exactly right. We see so many behavior problems. I mean, fear, aggression, separation anxiety, the list goes on, because they're treated as if they're like not even a living species, honestly, to say the least. And here, these pet parents are so emotionally attached right off the bat, and their wallets are hurting, their hearts are breaking, and the veterinarians and the community got together and we said, enough is enough.
Well, and that's a good point. You know, so some states have what are called lemon laws, and you can go back mm-hmm. to the store like you could a washing machine or maybe an automobile and say, you know what? It's this animal's sick. It's yours. The issues with that, it's everything you just said. People fall in love with these animals. They don't really want to return them. And then there's the question of, well, what happens when they are returned? What happens to those poor animals?
Right. And that's exactly right. What this initiative tries to do is tries to educate the pet parent, because when you see these animals, you fall in love. And so therefore, what we try to do through the animal shelters and rescues and adoptions and even breeders is proper education, understanding the cat breeds, the types of cats that are out there, the types of dogs that are out there. So that way it's a great marriage on both parties. And so that way they're also healthy, behaviorally speaking as well. All those kinds of things come into play versus that kind of that they They get just so emotionally involved right away that they'll say, okay, I'll spend $3,000 on a puppy that may have parvo already, you know?
Well, right. So, and that's the other thing. I mean, people, you know, we fall in love with these dogs, and there are now, we've demonstrated the reasons why we do this. It's called neotenism. It's looking at those faces that look like babies. Quite literally, they look like human babies, and they've been bred that way. I mean, that's really true. And we, all these neurochemicals in our head, we know. I mean, studies have been done on this. They're doing this happy dance, and you walk by that doggy in the window, and it's almost pulling you to the dog, and it's hard, really hard to resist. But by making that purchase, all you're doing is keeping that pet store in business, and most importantly, keeping where the dog came from, a puppy mill, in business, which is not something I think most people really want to do, but it's also spontaneous.
I can't begin to tell you how many times I've seen in the exam room the pet owners come in and they'll say that, you know, they spent $6,000 on this German Shepherd, and they say to me, I know, Dr. Crispin, you're going to yell at me. I got him from the puppy store. But, you know, it's not our job to judge and yell or whatever. But you're exactly right. It's perpetuating this horrific cycle that's happening with the puppy mills. So, yeah, and this is how it stops. This is how we do it, is through, you know, proper education and momentum like we're doing and legislation. It has to happen.
Well, the momentum is happening and has happened in Chicago. They've just closed a loophole, so what they passed really can happen. And other cities and now states, and the states have been slowed down a bit because of the pandemic. I mean, understandably, lawmakers are distracted with other things. Having said that, New Jersey, what you worked on is in the queue to go, and other states as well. And three states have passed it where no dogs, cats, or rabbits statewide in California, Maryland, or Maine can be sold. Dr. Adam Crispin of the DVM360, the chief medical officer. Have I got it right?
You got it right. Oh. Nailed it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
I will tell you, no dogs, cats, or rabbits being sold at pet stores. That is important. That's hot news, and it's hot outside, keeping your pets safe. Next. It's been a long time. It's been way too long since we've had Dr. Derek Landini on the show. And you don't look that hot and bothered, Dr. Landini of Heal Veterinary Clinic on the north side of Chicago. But this is the way I say it, and you tell me if I'm at all right about this. If you are hot outside and you're with your dog is hotter. I don't care what kind of dog you have. Is that true?
Absolutely. They don't have as many mechanisms to cool themselves off like we do. They can pant. You know, they can sweat through their paws, their limited sweat glands. Unlike we can actually, you know when we're hot and actually seek shelter. They sometimes will just hang out with us and not seek shelter because they love us so much.
Yeah, yeah. And it's even more true with bigger dogs. So, yes, even the smaller dogs do get more hot than we might think they are. But certainly a Newfoundland, a Great Dane, a Great Pyrenees, any of the very large dogs that do great when it's 20 below may not be so happy in the kind of weather we're having right now.
Even the darker coats, they actually collect more heat than the lighter coats and longer coats like Malamutes and Huskies. Those guys like the winter. So same with the dogs with a shorter nose, as we call it, brachiocephalic breeds, like the Pugs and the Bulldogs, the Boxers, the Boston Terriers. All those dogs will actually be it'll be more difficult for them to regulate their heat.
Why?
Well, they kind of have a compromised respiratory system, so they have a soft pellet that's a little longer than it should be because their nose is shorter. Their nostrils are smaller, typically in those breeds. Their windpipe is a little bit more narrow than the other breeds, too. So those are all, you know, predisposing factors for them not to be able to regulate their heat as well as a dog that has a longer nose, a wider trachea or the wider windpipe and bigger nostrils.
So it's a limited ability to breathe, literally. And for some of those dogs, it's somewhat compromised. But for dogs like Bulldogs and French Bulldogs and Pugs, it really is compromised. And if it's hot outside, it's truly an issue. So how can you tell if a dog is just too hot, about to literally perhaps go into heat stroke?
So, yeah, early signs of heat stroke or heat exhaustion, you know, they're drooling, So hypersalivation. They pant a lot, excessive panting. They even might feel warm when you touch them. Their mucous membranes or their gums are red and injected. Rapid heart rate is another sign. Dry nose. They don't want to respond to your commands. Those are kind of early signs. More severe, they start, you know, throwing up. Sometimes they'll even have muscle tremors. They'll get dizzy or stagger or wobbly, like ataxia. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the bad signs, you know, they're unconscious or seizuring. Those are obviously the more severe cases.
Well, hopefully you stop it at the very beginning, nowhere near where it gets that severe.
There's quite a few ways we can prevent that.
Yeah, go. That's exactly what I was going to ask. So, what are some ways that you can prevent it?
Well, I mean, you know, the older dogs and even people, you know, just think of it this kind of in logic way. You know, pick better days to take them for walks. It could be on shorter walks. They don't have to have their long walk on a hotter day. Make sure they have constant water supply. Don't leave them outside alone. And especially don't leave them in a car alone. That's definitely very dangerous. We know that. The statistics with heat stroke and heat exhaustion with cars left, the dogs left in cars are just phenomenal during the summertime.
Yeah, it's crazy.
People think 70-degree weather is safe to leave your dog car in a car, which, you know, we know that can get over 100 degrees in a short period of time.
Yeah, absolutely right. I live across the street from Lincoln Park, and we were crossing to go into the park at the point that it was okay to go back into the park. And my wife and I were with our dog that we have now, our Chihuahua Terrier mix, our little dog, and we're crossing to walk over, somehow navigating 100 bicycles coming right at us that we're not going to stop no matter what, which is a whole issue there. I mean, really, those, come on, bicyclists. That's ridiculous. So anyway, I mean, they actually sped up, I think. So we cross over, and this woman stops us and says, "I'm a veterinarian. Be careful because the ground, the asphalt, is or concrete, I don't know what it is over there, is really, really hot. And because of 100 bicycles coming toward us, I didn't get a chance to chit-chat with her and say, yeah, I'm aware of that, and I'd like to introduce myself, and I didn't have time. But you know what? I think she's right. And that's something we often don't think about, Dr. Landini.
You know, the time when I feel like it becomes worse is when you're trying to walk on that hot sand yourself in the summertime and you don't realize it. So, yeah, so there are things out there. There's pet wax to put on the paws to protect your feet. Some dogs are actually okay about putting little puppy sandals or booties on there.
Yeah.
But the best thing to do is to keep them off that hot asphalt. I've seen some dogs on tennis courts before, and those get really hot. And they come in, and later on they're limping, and they come to our practice over at Heal Veterinary, and we see these literally burns, you know, first to second degree burns on their pads where they need to be treated.
You know, someone once told me that a rule of thumb, literally, is to put your thumb and your entire palm of your hand down on the ground. If you can keep it there 30 seconds to 60 seconds, you're okay. If you can't even keep it there 30 seconds, you have a problem. If you can keep it there over a minute, you're fine. Is that about right?
I think that's fair. You know, you ever see that commercial where they cook an egg on a car's
right.
roof? So I feel like that we don't need to get to that degree. So you don't have to crack an egg on the asphalt, but putting your hand on there, and if it's too hot for you to keep your hand there, it's probably too hot for your pet to walk around on it.
How important is hydration?
Very important. I think hydration prevents a lot of the symptoms of heat stroke. If they're well hydrated, they might be able to go on a little bit longer walk, but you still have to make sure that they are drinking cool water. If it's too cold, that's going to bother them too. You don't want to make it too cold. You don't want to use ice cubes, because sometimes that'll upset their stomach, and then they'll vomit, and then now they get further dehydrated. So plenty of water, fresh water, cool water, doesn't have to be hot, is real important for these guys, especially your older dogs that may have underlying diseases like diabetes or kidney disease. So always keep that in mind, too. They're going to have to compensate.
You know, and that's something that's something that's often not talked about enough, I think. Older dogs. So, you know, older people have frankly, a more difficult time if it's very, very hot outside. I'm not talking about 75 degrees. I'm talking about 95 degrees. Is it the same for dogs, that older dogs, geriatrics in particular, have a more difficult time?
Yeah, the fancy word we're using is comorbidities now, especially with COVID out. So, you know, dogs with diabetes, overweight, they can't, you know, that's also going to be harder for them to stay cool. Asthma, so pulmonary diseases, cardiac disease or heart conditions, those are more common in older dogs. Now, younger dogs can get some of those diseases too, but we see them more common in older dogs. So absolutely, the older dog versus the younger dog definitely is going to play a role in staying healthy or safe.
Well, the whole idea is prevention, so you don't have to heal. From Heal Veterinary Clinic, Dr. Derek Landini, always good to talk to you, although I prefer talking about the Blackhawks. It's good to talk to you about keeping our dogs safe.
Definitely.
I will tell you, I am more convinced than ever before. I never needed convincing, and dogs, cats, and rabbits just should not be sold at pet stores. More about that next. So New York is about to do it, as we heard Assemblyperson Linda Rosenthal talk about. I talked to her off the air and their timetable. It's going to be a while. Because of the pandemic, things are slowed down. So it'll be about this time next year. But she thinks the assembly there will pass it. And if that happens, and it probably will, then the governor probably will sign it. We already have California, Maine, and Maryland statewide ban the sale of dogs, cats, and rabbits at pet stores. And we talked to Dr. Adam Christman. And, you know, that's important because the presumption here, because we don't know what's going on around the country, is that veterinarians are opposed to this idea of no dogs, cats, or rabbits being sold at pet stores. Hearing personally from veterinary professionals, not only veterinarians, but technicians and nurses, that is far from the case overall when you talk about the individuals. And veterinarians are, in some cases, leading the rally, if you will. And Dr. Adam Christman is one example of that. New Jersey will, maybe this year again, it depends on the pandemic as much as anything else, but probably pass statewide a similar bill that no dogs, cats, or rabbits can be sold at pet stores. Minnesota is in the process of doing the same thing. Where they are in the process exactly, well, it depends on these other outside factors. You know, people talk about a lemon law, and, well, I was supportive of that. I loved that idea. And still, it's better than nothing, but we can do better than that. And this is what I talked to Assemblyperson Rosenthal about. If I go into a pet store and I purchase that Yorkie poo, first of all, it may be fraud. We know by genetic testing that Yorkie poo may have no Yorkie and no poo in the dog. We know that today. But okay, so I purchase that dog, let's say, and I don't like it, or the dog gets very sick, whatever happens. It's not that I don't like the dog, but the dog gets very sick, or I don't like the behavior issue, which is very likely to happen with the pet store dog. I go to return it. Even if they give me the money back, who does that? This is not a washing machine. It's a member of the family. Next week on the show, we talk about misconceptions, and there are many regarding pet foods, and we'll also talk about heartworm prevention. That's next week, right here on Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN.